everyone to a fabulous new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We have two incredible guests joining us today to talk to us about a festival that's new to us and happening out in Los Angeles. Joining us, we have the actors Sarah Nataceni and Rachel Troy, both who are part of the Festival of Jewish Playwrights featuring Ethan Cohen, Shel Silverstein, and Wendy Wasserstein. And it's happening now through April 7th at the 905 Cole. You can get your ticket to more information by visiting onstage411.com. This fabulous festival features some great, great works that we can't wait to share with you. And the perfect people to tell us more about it are our guests. So why don't we go and welcome them on. Sarah, Rachel, welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank Hello. You so much for having us.
Thank you for having us.
I'm so happy that we're all speaking. I'm so happy that the two of you are here and you're bringing to us this great festival happening out in LA, the Festival of Jewish Playwrights. Sarah, if I could start with you, can you tell us a little bit about this festival and the works being done?
Of course. So we are doing Shel Silverstein, Ethan Cohen, and Wendy Wasserstein. The production company is called Foster Cat Productions, which holds a place in my heart because my mom and I have fostered over 100 cats and kittens. And we're very like-minded in that way, the producers and I. Their mission statement is to illuminate lesser-known works from great writers. And when I met them at the 24-Hour Play Festival in Los Angeles, which also happens in New York, and we had a little tiff. They wanted to serve. They were helping out and they were serving coffee. And I was like, oh, I need coffee. I'm so tired. I just gotten off a plane. And I bought a mug of coffee. And of course, as you theater going audience know, you can't bring a mug into a theater. So I was turned away upon entry into the theater. And I said, of course not. I know that. So I go to, there was a bar that I didn't notice. I get a cup with a lid and I pour the coffee and I go watch the show and I come back. And I went to the bar. I got a closed cup of coffee and I tried to give these guys the mug back. And they're like, no, you bought that. It's yours. And I'm like, but I can't, it's dirty. I don't want it. And I gave it to them. I go watch the show. I come back out and they try to foist the mug back on me. And that is how we became friends. They did end up keeping the mug. I didn't want to carry a dirty mug back to home. I didn't want it. So yeah, we knew we would like each other at that point. And they invited me to come see their run at that time. This was back in October, to come see them do Ethan Cohen. And I went and I thought it was great. And we got to talking and I was like, I'd love to work with you. And they said, well, we're about to do Shel Silverstein and Ethan Cohen and Wendy Wasserstein. If you'd like to join us, please come and read some plays with us and let's see what fits. And we did, and I did. And that was not the answer to your question, but that's how I got involved.
I love it though. What a great story. What a great coming upon.
It was a fun time. Yeah, it wasn't all just like
centered
a regular
around
audition.
A mug.
Yeah, all centered around a mug.
All mug.
Testament. I still don't have. And I ended up doing the 24-hour plays because I foisted myself onto them, Mark Armstrong, who runs that. I was like, hey, I really enjoyed watching that. I want to do your thing. I think a lot of acting I'm finding out is just asking people if I can do things.
I love
Am I just at a certain place in my life or could I have been doing that the whole time? I'm wondering. It's a lot of chutzpah, but try it. I think it could work.
Yeah, I think why not? You know, if you want to do something, ask for it.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, Rachel, let me volley over to you with the same question. Then, you know, can you tell us a bit about the shows you're involved in and a little bit more about this festival?
Yeah, so I'm in the Shel Silverstein one-act, which is titled An Adult Evening of Shel Silverstein, and keyword being adult, because, you know, we all know Shel Silverstein as the children's book play or children's book author. And a lot of people didn't know that he also writes plays. So these one-acts are, they are absurd, they're subversive, they are definitely edgy and adult, a lot of adult themes, but also wild, wacky themes that you wouldn't expect. And yeah, it's just been a great, great opportunity to get to know Shel Silverstein in a completely different way.
Mm-hmm. And they the theater company, they focus on rough/poor theater. So we're not like miming props. We have full props. I remember going to their apartment and actually watching them create these signs that look like the illustrations from the Shel Silverstein books. So we hold up signs like buy one, get one free is one of the plays, and we open that play with a sign that says buy one, get one free that's hand drawn by our producers. Yeah, everything was done. It's just enough. So it's not just like super naked black box. We have costumes, we have props, but there are blocks on stage. There are, pillows from the outs, from the lobby on stage. We make do with what we have, and it works so well. These guys really are so fantastic at knowing where to put their dollar,
Yeah, I'd say the vibe and aesthetic of the Shel Silverstein 1X are definitely cartoonish. So there's like a nod to that childhood, experience of his books, but also this goofy, funny, outlandish spectacle.
So wonderful. Well, Rachel, starting with you on this next question, what has it been like developing these works in this festival?
We started working together and reading the plays and sort of choosing what parts fit well for each actor back in December. So that's when we sat together, we read all the 1X and just did a cold reading and then kind of talked about, the directors, Elliot and Harry White, were brothers. They gave us more of an explanation on what they wanted to demonstrate with the plays. So we started off with a lot of reading and then rehearsal, just in their apartment to save money, which was smart. And then getting it up on its feet. And one thing that we did was we wanted to make sure that we were fully memorized before staging it so that we could really play and explore and feel really comfortable in the text.
Yeah, and Buy One, Get One Free is the short play that the two of us are in together. And it's in verse, so it's all rhyming and everything rhymes on E. So he's like using poetry for kind of modern lowbrow purposes. And it was really, really fun to do. But yeah, that was the first of the five plays that I'm in that I memorized because I thought that would be the hardest, and it ended up being the easiest one because it rhymes and it just all kind of makes sense. And doing it with Rachel was just so natural and easy.
Sarah and I were on the phone together nearly every day, going over the lines.
Yeah, wanna run it? Wanna run it? Let's
Yeah,
run
sure.
it. She'd be in the car. I'm like, how are you doing this in the car? Are you okay? I don't know how to drive, so I couldn't imagine using my brain in two different ways like that. The one is like life-threatening, and the other one just doesn't matter. But we did. Yeah, she's Rachel, very talented.
Well, Sarah, coming to you with that question, what has it been like developing the shows you're in and you're involved with?
It's been great. So, in order of appearance, I'm in the Shel Silverstein. I'm in One Tennis Shoe. So, One Tennis Shoe is about a hoarder. She's a young, close to middle-aged woman who just can't part with anything. She's a bag lady. And that is really, I picked that one. I was like, you have to let me do this one because that is my late grandma. And it meant a lot to be able to kind of channel that. My aunt and my mom came to several performances, and my aunt came to one. And I'm like, did you see your mother in this? She's like, yeah, a little bit, yeah. I'm like, that's your mom. That's your mom, dude. I was very close with her. So it was really, really fun developing her and finding all those moments where that weren't even really scripted. The most my grandma moments weren't even really scripted. There's one moment where he starts chucking stuff out of this big shopping bag, and it's not in the play, but I start like screaming like and just like start kind of crying about it on stage. And that is always a moment in that particular play that just grounds me and makes me feel really comfortable and like I know what I'm doing, which doesn't always happen. And then the second play I'm in is Lifeboat is Sinking, and I do that with Will Fuglinity. So Lifeboat is Sinking, I do with Will Fuglinity, and he's just wonderful and so fun to yell at. My character in that is a very sadistic woman who is trying to get her husband to throw his mother overboard in a type of imaginary play that she's putting on for him. So she's like, they're in bed together, and she's like, the lifeboat is sinking. We're sinking. We're sinking. What do you do? And we have him, me, the wife, and the daughter, and his mother. She wants him to say, I would get rid of my mother because we need to balance the boat. I won't tell you how it ends, but it is a very, that was the most difficult one to memorize because so much of what is said is just variations on what's already been said. And so finding that through line in a completely imaginary, it's when you're on stage, you're imagining a reality already. But in this play, I'm imagining the reality as just as an actor, baseline imagination. And then on top of that, I'm imagining that the lifeboat is sinking, that we're in this play within the play that I'm putting on, that I'm creating for him. So, I'm good enough with this one already. Then we do buy one, get one free, which we've talked about. I do with Rachel, and we play two sex workers who are just trying to make some money finally. I feel like they don't make a lot of money. And I play the one who's a bit more, established, and she's my new recruit. And she's not she's kind of
I'm not too bright.
not too bright.
Yeah,
We
buy
have
one,
some
get
problems
one
with
free
HR with
is,
her.
yeah, buy one, get one free is by far my favorite. It is in verse, so it does resemble Shel Silverstein's writing, except it's about sex workers trying to solicit their gentlemen. And so there's this amazing juxtaposition of us, speaking in this gorgeous rhyme, but we're sex workers and trying to make a buck. And there's all kinds of twists and turns that happen in that one act. That's really, really fun to play.
That's it. Oh, and then I'm in the Ethan Coen. So in Ethan Coen, we do three plays in Ethan Coen that came from three different sets. So Ethan Coen, I believe these are his only three sets. I hope I'm right about that. But these three plays have never been performed outside in a set like this. So he has three plays in one set, three plays in another set, three plays in another set, and we took one play from each set and put them together, and it really works. The theme is like anger and semantics. And I'm in the second and third plays. We do Talking Cure, which was originally written for a man. And I read it. I saw it. I saw Will actually played the patient in October, and I really loved it. And I read it myself, and I was like, I really want to do this. So I asked them if I could, and they said yes. So I feel so lucky because I don't think it's been done on a professional stage by a woman before. And that is my, like, I would say my favorite. That's my favorite play of all of them to do, just as an actor. Like the fun buy one get one free is just like a ruckus time, but this one I get to really it's a bit of my dad in that one, so I really like to kind of delve into this kind of professorial type of, hey, I'm gonna fight you to the very end on this. And it's really just he basically is just like she. I keep saying he. It's funny because this is such a masculine part. It's such a, I just wish they would write women like this more. She wants to tell the psychiatrist, your job doesn't matter. You're doing nothing. You are nothing. I don't need you. Nobody needs you. So it's really fun to be able to do that over the course of that play. Sadistic. And then I'm in Debate, which is a deconstructed play. So it starts with a play within a play that's performed out to the audience. And then you have two couples going back and forth stage talking about how the play sucked. And you deconstructed through those people. And my role is the role of the girlfriend of one of the actors who's in the play. And I am just not having it. And, yeah, that's all I should really say about that because I don't want to give anything away. But it's a really fun. I just play kind of myself, maybe a classier version of myself, and at the end get to scream at him. And then the scene after that, another actress is like, "Acting is yelling," and it's so gratifying whenever I hear that backstage. Am I making any sense?
Yes, no, I love all this. What fun and diverse shows you're both involved in. This is great.
Yes. Huge.
So, Sarah, I'm curious to know, with the festival, with your many work, is there a message or thought you hope that audiences take away from all this?
Yes, I well, baseline, I want them to learn that both Shel Silverstein and Ethan Coen wrote plays. I did not know that. We think of Ethan Coen, we think of Coen Brothers and, award-winning films. We think of Shel Silverstein, we think of The Giving Tree and Falling Up and Sidewalk Ends, So that's baseline. I would love from Shel Silverstein. It's going to shake you in your boots. Like the things he wrote, it's funny because we have baby monitor backstage, of course, and we're hearing how the audience is reacting. And different audiences react differently to it. Some are really horrified by some of it, and some are laughing through some of the horrific bits. And we're like, whoa, you guys are wow. So everybody's different. And I hope everybody gets. I think everybody, people seem very happy and actually stick around after the show and say hi to all of us. So I think overall the response has been really, really positive. But it's a risky production. It definitely is. It's highly inappropriate. It's like really, And Ethan Coen, I wouldn't say it's inappropriate or anything, but yeah, I guess the God plays are a little much. They're a bit much. Yeah. We use some language in that one. Some unsavory language. Yeah, I would say none of this is for folks who are easily offended, I would say. Right? Is that fair, Rachel?
Yeah, very
Yeah.
fair.
You have to be like, you got to be okay with being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which theater should do. Let's be
Theater should
real.
do. Yeah.
Rachel, I'm going to direct my final question for this first part to you, and that is, who do you hope have access to the Festival of Jewish Playwrights and to both of your works?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, I think these plays are for everyone. If you're willing to be challenged and to go to a different place that would be unexpected. It's a Jewish playwright festival, but it's not directed for just Jewish audiences. It's directed for everyone and adults because, like Sarah said, yeah, some of the themes are, pushing some boundaries that may make you feel uncomfortable, but ultimately make you think.
The second part of our interview, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guest a little bit better. Pull the curtain back, if you will. And I want to start with both of you and our perennial first question, which is, what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past, or are just some of your favorites? And Rachel, can I start with you first on that, please?
Definitely. I absolutely love experimental theater, performance art, alternative comedy, absurdist plays. So, using various devices besides just dialogue and story to highlight narrative and story. So recently I've been seeing a lot of clown shows, and I don't mean clown with like a red nose and a curly wig. I mean a form of alternative comedy that, yeah, forces you to kind of think about our world and our society differently, but in a comedic way where there's a lot of audience engagement and play happening first and foremost. So, yeah, I really enjoy experimental theater. I saw a play at Edinburgh Fringe just this past year in 2023 called The Body Show by Frankie Thompson and Liv Elo, and I think they're from based out of London. And it wasn't necessarily comedic, it wasn't necessarily dramatic, but it also brought tears to my eyes. And they used various different devices, including like art installation and various tech devices to help illustrate a story that on its head doesn't really make any sense, but it made the most sense in terms of the themes that they were talking about, which was the body, which is the start of everything. So yeah, that was something that I saw recently that that reinvigorated my love for experimental theater.
That is a fabulous, fabulous list of inspirations. I love it. Sarah, what
Wow.
about
Yeah.
you? What or who inspires you?
So I come from a musical family. My mom is actually a Broadway violinist. And so I grew up in the bowels of all the Broadway theaters and at the Met and like babysitting other musicians' kids and watching everything and like running up to see the bows. So Gypsy, man, Beauty and the Beast, every musical that was on Broadway in the 90s is just like my home base. And whenever I meet those actors now, whenever I'm fortunate enough to meet them now, like I just met Susan Egan recently and I'm like, you don't even know, you don't even know. And sometimes people say I kind of sound like her, and I'm like, I can't handle it. But yes, I love actors who have been successful in doing comedy and drama. So like Robert Downey Jr. and Robin Williams and Jim Carrey and God, who else? Like Olivia Colman and Phoebe Waller-Bridge. Like just off the top of my head, Jenny Slate. Like people who are great at doing physical and cerebral comedy, who have been able to transition their careers. Those are the people that I kind of look to now, and I'm like, that needs to be done. That needs to be done. Comedy is harder, so I love seeing people honor that and recognize that actors aren't just one thing. I'm a voice actor primarily. I got swept into that and became that and lived that life for like 17 years. And now I'm finally like making some headway, getting back into what I originally intended to do, and which is, on camera and theater. And, of course, I want to remain a voice actor. Let me be perfectly clear. That is an amazing job, probably the best acting job, because it's just acting. It's literally just the fun part. Voice acting is just the fun part, and that's what I've been doing. We're not memorizing anything. There's no 5 a.m. wake up. There's no makeup. There's no there's no shake up. There's no breakup. You're not even seeing anybody. There's nobody to break up with. So that, yeah, voice acting is amazing. But you're in a dark booth by yourself a lot of the time, and that can be very lonely and drive you a little bit crazy. So it's been really great, kind of weaseling my way back into the other aspects of what I want to do.
I
I love
love
what I
the number of
do.
shows that you got to be a part of or to see. I mean,
Yeah.
immediately went Beauty and the Beast in the 90s, and I was like, yeah. But I
Yeah,
love that
love it.
list.
Yeah, that's my top of mind list.
Well, and all of this kind of leads into my favorite question to ask guests, which I'm excited to hear yours, and that is, what is your favorite theater memory?
Okay, so I was in a play. Oh my God, so many years ago. It was at the Jean Frankel Theater in New York.
I've done that. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a great theater. And this was the summer of my like freshman year of college, so many, many years ago. And it was a play called Seven Stories. And it was basically just, seven characters in their windows having their lives. Like the set was just seven windows. And I played this like, really Christian Minnesota, really just really delicate. And for some reason, I don't remember why, but her scene starts out with her have like fishing. She has a fishing pole, and on the bottom of the fishing pole is like a wad of cash, like $500. And in the play, the money is never supposed to drop, but during the performance, it dropped. And I just said, "Oh, God's will," which is exactly what that character would have said. And it was such a great moment to like think fast on your feet, be in the moment, be present. It's like such a perfect example of like the immediacy of theater. And I got a great laugh because there was this understanding between the audience and the actor that that wasn't supposed to happen, but it happened. And so you're navigating these two worlds of theater and reality, and you're in this liminal space, and you're sharing that experience with the audience, and we're all laughing about it because it's not supposed to happen, but it happened. And then how does the actor deal with it? So that was just, that's like such, that's a memory that I love so much because it was so fun. It was like a mistake, but we made it fun. I just always think back on that and love it.
I
That's awesome.
love that. Oh my God. Yes. More Minnesotan accents and reactions to that. That is brilliant.
Yeah.
I
Yeah,
love
well, gets well. It's supposed to happen.
Thank you for that. Sarah, what about
Oh,
you? What is your
I'm
favorite theater memory?
struggling. I don't know. My biggest, longest production. I did Guys and Dolls in high school. I played Sarah. I'm sure I have a very similar story to you. My most recent, I have a recent memory of a couple of weeks ago where we were doing Lifeboat is Sinking, and for some reason, I just started saying all kinds of things. And I'm on stage. It was the second line. The first line was fine, and then the second line is not so fine. Suddenly, I started saying lines that come later in the show because, like I said, this particular play, it's a lot of the same lines just said in like this. The gulls are screeching. The gulls are screaming. So I just started kind of saying things. And I could feel Will looking at me like, what are you doing? And I finally came back into the line, finished saying the line as it was written, looked at him. And he's stuttering as he doesn't, thank God, in this play, he's always like, oh, I bail. I do this, you know? And I caught him so off guard that he forgot the bail line, and I was like, "Well, you could bail," and we just saved it. We saved it, and I'm always a little nervous because as a voice actor, you don't memorize anything, so I don't memorize that often. You know, there are actors who memorize every single day. They do 7-page auditions in one day, and that's totally normal for them. I don't have that right now, so I'm working on it though. I screwed him up too, and he couldn't say the line. I said it for him, and then we got off stage. I'm like, kind of still with the actual performance of that play was probably the best we'd ever done because we screwed up in the beginning and it loosened us up. We were like, well, can't get any worse than this. And we just did it, and it was kind of great. And I discovered a new physicality with him in that performance that I kept through the rest of the run. So great. It was great. At the end of the day, it was great. We walk off stage. I'm like, I am so sorry. I'm so sorry. And thankfully I had a lot of friends in the audience that night, and I was like, did you notice anything like amiss with that play? Nobody noticed a damn thing. They all thought it was fantastic. And I'm like, okay, fine, because I'm a
That's how it was
nervous, you
meant to
know,
be.
I like I was nervous about memorizing. That was like my biggest, that's my kryptonite. That's my, like, it has to be perfect, it has to be perfect, it has to be perfect. And yeah, it should be perfect, but like if you mess up, it's not the end of the world. The audience very seldom notices something like that. So good lesson learned. It's like the negative version of your story, Rachel.
Right.
I
Me
love that. Those were both fantastic. I love those. I love the thinking on your feet, everything, all
Yeah.
that part of it, you know. Thank you both for those amazing memories. Those were fabulous.
Thank you.
As we wrap things up, I want to know, you know, do either of you have any other projects or productions coming on the pipeline we might be able to plug for you?
Rachel.
Yes, please. Yeah, I have been developing a solo show. It's titled Baby. It's a tragic comedy, I would say, because it is comedic, but I'm also dealing with themes that are universal but painful. So yeah, the show's called Baby. It's a tragic comedy. It has a lot of clown elements, so a lot of audience interaction, audience engagement, play with the audience. And it's basically about the inner baby living within us all, or the inner child living within us all. And it's about how we transpose relationships. So we turn our partners into our parents. And, you know, with the use of baby voice or even calling our partner baby. And it's also sort of a psychological odyssey. And the theme is attachment theory, which some people know about, some people don't know about, but everyone experiences. So, attachment theory is a psychological term used to describe the bond between you and your caregiver. And the way the theory goes is that how you respond with your parents is how you will respond in your romantic or intimate relationships or partners. So, I start off as a baby in the show, like, and really earnestly committed to playing a baby, and Sarah can attest to it because
So
she's
good.
seen it, which is a really fun way to play with the audience and get the audience, get yourself into trouble as a baby. But then I kind of transform into various different characters. I'm also, in addition to being an actor, comedian, director, my bread and butter is that I'm a therapist for real, a psychotherapist. I see clients, and the show sort of explores my role as fake mother, helping adults heal their wounded inner child. So I'm not really playing myself as a therapist. I would never, like, the things I do in the show are so outlandish and weird that that's not how I really work, but it is sort of like this crazy deranged version of that. So it's a really fun show, and yeah, the responses I've gotten from it, in the workshop productions that I've done have been really great. Like, people laugh and people cry, and people are really surprised at the range of emotions that I take you on, and the places that I take you. Yeah, and it's going to be at the Hollywood Fringe this June at the Broadwater Studio. And if you follow me on Instagram, Rachel of Troy, and find out more about dates and such, I'll be doing 7 performances throughout the month of June.
Amazing, amazing. I love that. Sarah, what about you? Any other projects or productions coming down the pipeline we can plug?
Sure. So much I can't talk about. It's so sad. This is coming soon. Pokemon Horizons. So I wouldn't even say, this is the first time I've been on a podcast that didn't open with, "So you're the voice of Ash Ketchum." So thank you. That's really cool that that didn't happen. That's the first time ever. So yes, I've been the voice of Ash Ketchum on Pokemon for the last 17, 18 now, I guess, years. And I'm in Pokemon Horizons, not as Ash, I guess, kind of spoiler alert. For audiences who might, don't tell your kids. Yes, Ash is not in Pokemon Horizons, but I play other characters. And let's see, what else? Nothing, nothing. I'm so inspired by Rachel. Maybe I'll try to do it. I can't imagine doing anything like what you're doing. Your stuff, it's so good. So I don't know, but I know Rachel and I talked about it. She felt the same way. She's like, "Oh my God, but this other person is so amazing. Like, am I really the, am I?" And I'm like, "Yeah, you actually really are." So, it would be really cool to do something solo like that or duet. Well, whatever, we'll see. Yeah, I do a lot of conventions. I travel a lot of weekends. I meet fans. So follow me on Instagram. I will be announcing shows that are dropping and games that are dropping. And yeah, sorry, I can't talk about anything else. We didn't say our little thing, how Rachel and I have both, we were in a play together over 10 years ago. And this is our like reunion, being on stage
Yeah.
together again.
That's
Yeah. I know. It
amazing.
was really cool.
Some great things coming down the pipeline. And that leads to my final question, which is, if our listeners would like more information about the Festival of Jewish Playwrights or about either of you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
So Sarah Natacheni here can be reached all over social media, anywhere you get your social media. And that's at Sarah Natacheni, all verified everywhere. And Foster Cat Productions is the theater company that we're working with on the Festival of Jewish Playwrights. You can reach Foster Cat Productions on Instagram or on their website, Foster Cat Productions, fostercatproductions.com. I'm also repped by CESD for voiceover, and check my website very shortly about theatrical, because that's an email that I'm in right now. I'm very excited about.
Very
So
cool.
the best way to keep up to date with what I'm doing is through Instagram, Rachel of Troy. Also, if you just Google my show, Google Baby Rachel Troy, Hollywood Fringe. It'll direct you to my project page where you'll get to see a synopsis of my show, some photos from past performances, and of course, tickets if you're in the LA area or want to come to the LA area to see my solo show, Baby. You can look that up.
Wonderful. Well, Sarah, Rachel, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today, sharing this amazing festival, and just all of your insight and memories and such. This was such a joy, such an honor to speak with the both of you. So thank you both so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having us. So fun.
Thank you so much. It was so fun. Great to meet you. Great to talk to you.
You as well. My guests today have been the actors Sarah Nannaceni and Rachel Troy, who are both performing in the Festival of Jewish Playwrights, featuring works by Ethan Cohen, Shel Silverstein, and Wendy Wasserstein. It's happening now through April 7th at 905 Cole, which is in Los Angeles, and you can get your tickets and more information by visiting onstage411.com. We also have some contact information for our guests and the producing company, which we'll be posting on our episode description as well as on our social media posts. But if you are in the Los Angeles area or you're needed a vacation, head to Los Angeles, check out this wonderful festival, the Festival of Jewish Playwrights, starring, featuring our wonderful guests playing now through April 7th. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones. Unwrap your candies.
And keep talking about the theater.
In a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.